Flint, Michigan still doesn't have clean water. It's been more than 2.5 years since the city switched its water supply and lead first appeared in its tap water. But a new investigation by the Reuters news agency finds that even with Flint's water crisis, there are many neighborhoods across the country with even more serious problems, and some places where 40% of the children have elevated lead levels. Michael Pell is a data journalist with Reuters. He reported this story with his colleague Joshua Schneer. Michael joins us from New York. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
Well, there has been so much attention placed on Flint, Michigan, but you and your colleagues found that there are, what, nearly 3,000 places across the country with worse lead poisoning than Flint? Where are some of these places and how much worse?
Well, they're scattered across the country, and some of them are much worse than Flint. These are communities, some of which have been reported on in the past, like Baltimore, Philadelphia, Cleveland, and others of them are areas that have flown under the radar. South Bend, Indiana, St. Joseph, Missouri, a little mining town in Missouri called Viburnum. And some of them, nearly half of the kids tested have lead poisoning.
Wow. I'm looking here at your story. And in Warren, Pennsylvania, for example, you found that 36% of children have tested with high lead levels. That's just one of the places. And how did you find this new information, or how did you gather this data?
So earlier this year, Josh and I did a story about a town in Indiana called East Chicago. And this town made headlines for a couple of weeks over the summer after the mayor decided to evacuate a housing complex in the city because it was built on a Superfund site with high amounts of lead. And Josh and I looked at a CDC report that was written in a few years ago that said that there was almost no risk of children being exposed to lead poisoning because almost every kid in the town was being tested. And the rates of lead poisoning or elevated lead levels were in line with the rest of the country. So Josh obtained some data that I took a look at from the Department of Health in Indiana that was down to the census tract level. And what we found was that, yes, the town itself had a rate that was in line with the rest of the country. But no, not even close to 100% of kids were being tested. And no, the rate for that census tract that included the housing complex was not in line with the rest of the country. It was much higher than the rest of the country. And it was one of the census tracts that had the highest rates of elevated lead levels in the state of Indiana. And so that made us want to look at granular data across the country. And Josh and I issued open records requests in all 50 states to obtain as much data as we could on a granular level. We wanted to look at data by census tract or by zip code.
And just to be clear, I mean, the level of granularity here is important because the census tracts, as you remind us in your story, are county subdivisions of about 4,000 residents and zip codes on average, what, 7,500 people?
That's right. That's okay. Right. And so what you could see in a county is, oh, sure, there's no problem countywide, but there are neighborhoods that are absolutely struggling with lead poisoning.
Right. So where in these places that had these spikes, these very disturbing spikes of high rates of lead poisoning or high blood lead levels in children, what were the causes that you found? Is it the traditional ones we think of? Paint, old infrastructure, pipes?
Often it is aging housing, old infrastructure. In Milwaukee, they're replacing their lead pipes. They also have old housing with paint. In St. Joseph, Missouri, there are houses there that are more than 100 years old. And during that time period, they have been covered with lead paint again and again and again. There's also the soil. Cars used to run on leaded gasoline, and the fumes, the exhaust, would settle into the soil. Old industrial sites. Some of the communities you might not think would have a problem based on the age of the housing and income levels, traditional predictors of lead poisoning, but you would find out that this community is located in the Lead Belt, a mining district in Missouri that has a long history of lead mining, smelting.
Right. Well, so let's talk about St. Joseph, Missouri in a little bit more detail because, I mean, you opened the story with a little boy, 2 years old, named Caden, and he has high lead levels. But then you say within 15 blocks of his house, how many? 120 children have been poisoned since 2010?
That's right. So I went to St. Joseph in November. I met with a pediatrician whose children had also had high lead levels because of the age of the house that she lived in. And then we just took a walk around a neighborhood that we knew had high percentages of kids with high lead levels, and ran across LaRonda, who was sitting on her porch watching her son play. And just in the course of chit-chatting with her, she said, "Yo, you're here for a story about lead poisoning. My son Caden was nearly hospitalized last year because of his exposure to lead." And what it came down to, it wasn't hard to find people once you got into these neighborhoods, once you identify the neighborhoods.
Wow. I mean, so just in St. Joseph, you have poor little Caden. And then did you also mention that the pediatrician in St. Joseph's, or one of them, her
yes.
daughter was had also had high lead levels?
Two of her daughters, as
Both,
a matter of
two
fact.
Two of her daughters.
Yeah. St. Joseph is a city that really values historic preservation. And so they have some beautiful Victorian homes that were built in the 19th century, including Dr. Bromfield's home. And shortly after she moved in, her two youngest daughters were both diagnosed with high lead levels.
Hmm. Now, what impact? Because we're talking not just, you know, what's been happening in the past year. We've been talking about things that have been going on for years in some of these communities. What impact
yes.
have these high lead levels had?
Well, researchers have found that even low levels of lead exposure can permanently impact a child's cognitive abilities. Not only that, but can impact their emotional state as well. So Josh interviewed a family in Milwaukee, a young man who was exposed years and years ago, and he is still struggling with lead exposure today. He has problems regulating his emotions. He has had frequent run-ins with the police. He has cognitive problems. And he told Josh he thinks that this affected his entire life. He could have been something different if not for the lead paint that he was exposed to in a rental property all those years ago.
Wow. So you did this new analysis that looked at numbers at a much sort of in smaller geographic chunks, essentially, to find out
yes.
where the real hot spots were. Did county level officials know about these particular hot spots? Have families living in these areas been able to get the appropriate medical treatment or assistance in keeping their water clean, maintaining their homes?
Sometimes when we went to a community, they said, absolutely, this makes sense to us. We do know that we have a problem, but we don't have the resources to deal with this. We need more money. Federal funds have been drying up. CDC's funding for this type of work has decreased dramatically over the years. State budgets have not kept pace with the problem. So sometimes county and city health officials were aware of the problem, but oftentimes they weren't. We've gotten phone calls from city managers, elected officials who have said, we had no idea that this was a problem.
Wow. Well, I'm seeing a quote here from Dr. Luis Gallup. He's a pathologist and a county health officer in South Bend, Indiana.
Yes.
And he says that their funds to tackle the lead problem in South Bend have dwindled, and you have this quote here where he says, we are the lowest of the low in terms of public health funding. I mean, I'm not saying that that's true in every county that you visited, but in cases like that, the future doesn't look too bright in terms of tackling this problem.
It's going to be interesting to see what county and city health officials do with this information now. And will this galvanize public support for tackling this problem? We saw that with Flint, Michigan, the city received $170 million in federal aid recently. That's about 10 times the CDC budget for state assistance.
Do you think that there are more places like the neighborhoods and the communities that you discovered in your reporting, but for some reason didn't come up in your data analysis this time?
That's very possible. Testing rates for children are abysmal across the country. Even in states that require testing of kids, for example, at ages 1 and 2, there are huge swaths of the population that are not being tested as they're supposed to. So if we had more data, there could be communities that would show that they have a problem as well.
Well, Michael Pell is a data journalist with Reuters, speaking to us about the investigation about high lead levels in many communities across the United States. Michael, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.